The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
American prosperity is the bedrock of freedom and security all over the world.
An obligation to the heritage of liberty and dignity handed down to us by our forefathers.
It's time for the Pro-America Report with Ed Martin on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro-America Report. Great to be together. We got a lot going on since we last spoke yesterday's program. I covered in the Wink yesterday what you need to know all about this Georgetown University, so-called Hoyagate. Hoyagate was all the DeRoy Murdoch wrote a piece in the American Spectator. We had it very early. I think I had it first, actually. And I went and put it out and we talked about it. And it's taken off like wild. Elise Stefanik, the congresswoman from New York, who's fairly famous for being so good at putting the heat on the Harvard, UPenn, and which other was it? Cornell, one of the other university, Columbia. One of the university presidents. She's really good. She tweeted about it, or did an X post, as they say. Now that it's X, not Twitter. So the story is breaking wide open, and we've got a lot more. DeRoy Murdoch will be on the program. You know, he's an exclusive Fox News TV guy. He can't go on it. He's tied up by them because they pay him, and he goes on Fox News all the time. But he can do any radio show. So he's on with us in a few moments. You're going to enjoy talking to him. I was speaking with him last night, getting ready for this interview. Very smart, very, very bright. Georgetown University graduate himself in the mid-1980s. So he's written this Hoyagate. It is exploding. I have to tell you, it is going to get more and more attention because there is this incestuous relationship between so many of these entities and the federal government. And it's one thing for them to be in the tank together doing these terrible things. It's another thing entirely for them to be a government-funded nonprofit receiving lots of benefits and also being able to deduct tax-deductible donations from lots of people. So we're gonna see a lot more attention on that. We'll look forward to it. So welcome. Again, it's Ed Martin here on the Pro-America Report. Please visit ProAmericaReport.com, ProAmericaReport.com, and sign up there for my Substack. I send them out. There's one going out in the next, it may be first thing in the morning, I think, on Wednesday. You're going to want to check them out. All right. First segment of the radio show and of the podcast and that you're listening to now, of course, is what we call the Wink. What you need to know, W-Y-N-K. One story, one thing that's going on that you need to check out. And I have to say, the one thing, what you need to know today, the Wink today, it gives me, it's a heavy heart. Because I actually like the guy, and I also think it's a very, very bad day for America. We have to talk about Peter Navarro. Peter Navarro's last appeal to keep him out of prison, actually has an appeal pending, but he went to the U.S. Supreme Court and said, hey, I'm on appeal here. While I'm waiting for the appeal, can I stay out of jail? And Chief Justice John Roberts said, no, you have to go to jail. And of course, his term in prison is only 4 months, so he's not going to be in jail. They won't have resolved his appeal fast enough to have him dodge the penalty that he's being sentenced to. And as others have said, there's something very, very wrong about this. This is a nonviolent offense. This is not even close. This has nothing to do with the actual conduct on January 6th. It has nothing to do with any aspect of violence or anything. It doesn't have to do with even record destruction. It doesn't have to do with a flight risk. I think they've got his passport, or they can certainly take it. It is a nonviolent. The crime is called contempt of Congress, which, you know, we all hold Congress in contempt at this point in our history. It should be something he's praised for. I'm half kidding, but it's contempt of Congress, meaning he refused to go before them when they said you must come. So it's crazy. It's crazy. And he's a really nice man. He's in his early 70s. He's fit as a fiddle, by the way. He's a really healthy guy. So I'm sure he's going to be fine in terms of having to go sleep in a cell and everything. But it's just wrong. And here's where it's wrong. It's devastating for our country, because we're supposed to have a system, a legal system, that fights back the bullies. I've talked to you about this before. Our whole legal system is founded upon the Magna Carta. That's the beginning of Western law, and as it is in America. And the Magna Carta was a bunch of folks said to the king and said, hey, king, you're being a bully. We're not going to allow it. And you sign here, king, and you're going to give us certain checks against your power. And that was the beginning of what's called due process, that any process to take away someone's property or their liberty must have a fair and serious process, set of procedures to do it, a system that is fair. That's America. That's our due process system. All the way down to America, when we started this nation, what were we protesting against? Bullies. We were protesting against the bullies in England that had a process that was unfair. It had gotten corrupt. And what they basically said was, you colonists, you're not allowed to have the protection from the Magna Carta or anything else. And we, the people, said, you know what, we're fed up with this. We're fed up with a system that is so obviously against we, the people, and we set up America. It is the greatest experiment in living together with a system that is what? Stands up to bullies and protects we the people and has a certain, how to say it, fairness about it. Again, the procedures, the system allows you to check the power of the people who have authority in your community, in your nation, in your state, wherever it is, all the way down to today, where somehow the blindness caused by Trump derangement syndrome has made people want to jettison this great system that is America. I say it over and over again to people. The crown jewel of America, our crown jewel, it's not the crown. You go to England, you can go to the Tower of London, you can see the crown. You can see the scepter. They got jewels all over them. You can see the ring. There's a ring that the king and the sovereign is supposed to wear. And that sovereign is the one who's got the power. God gives it to them and they can assert the power. In America, we do not have a crown jewel like that. Our crown jewel is the rule of law, the Constitution, and our founding values. And we have stood up to that. We've stood up for that. In a very particular way that we have to honor, that we must honor, that is at the heart of what we're doing. That's what's happened in this country. That's the thing that we have done that's protected us so much. And we're losing the crown jewels. And Peter Navarro is a political prisoner now. He is a political prisoner who has been sentenced because he's tied to Trump. And more importantly, where due process is really failing here is he should not have to go to jail until his appeals are over. In other words, the system should allow the fairness, but allow the operation to move so that he's not going to prison. There are examples of January Sixers, by the way, that had to go. They took plea deals or sentenced even before they could get the 1512 charge that's before the Supreme Court. So he's not the only one, actually. But this is so blatantly obvious. And there's not even hanging around him a significant charge that can sound like what 1512 did. In other words, it's all nonviolent. So this is a very sad day in the continuing onslaught of America by people who want to jettison our fair system, our system system that works so well. And we should be appalled. And that's what you need to know. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Please visit again, proamericareport.com. Sign up there for the daily email, the Pro America Report right there. You can put your email address in. We'll be right back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment.
Hey, everybody, this is Ryan Height jumping in real quick here. Just wanted to exercise a moment of producer privilege as we head into the break before we get to a couple of great guests. Wanted to let you know there is so much happening. Even today, as we are producing this show, the Supreme Court has come out with new rulings. The Schlafly Report is dropping. All kinds of stuff is happening at the beginning part of this week. I just wanted to remind you a very quick, very extra special reminder. Go to PhyllisSchlafly.com, ProAmericaReport.com. There's a lot of stuff happening. You do not want to miss out on being on those two email lists. ProAmericaReport.com, that's Ed's Substack. That's where you're going to find several things that are going on, particularly as it relates to the wink we just heard. Peter Navarro heading into jail today, or this week, I should say. And then, of course, PhyllisSchlafly.com, where not only can you find all the archives, but you will sign up there for the email list. Get the wink email every morning to your inbox. You want to do it starting tomorrow. Don't miss out. Go there right now. PhyllisSchlafly.com. Sign up for the Wink email. There is a lot of stuff happening, and I am going to be very privileged here to come back and wrap up the show. We've got something we want to talk about. I'm going to break it down for us, but I wanted to make sure that we got that in. Don't forget, Pro America Report, PhyllisSchlafly.com, ProAmericaReport.com. You will not be sad that you have gone and done those two things. Go sign up. Thank you so much, and we will see you back here on the other side of the break on the Pro America Report.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. You've heard me talk for a day plus. I had a look early Monday morning at this piece that came out. Hoyagate is the title. Georgetown Law is Vatican of Trump Hatred. In this case, I think the author, DeRoy Murdoch, he's a pretty great writer. I bet he wrote the headline because it's a good headline. And lengthy piece on who's doing what over at Georgetown Law School, that it's not just that it's anti-Trump, it's also anti-government, anti-law. It's extraordinary. And DeRoy Murdoch, of course, you can read him at the American Spectator. That's where this piece ran, Daily Call or other places, and see him exclusively on Fox News. So welcome, DeRoy. How are you?
I'm great, Ed. It's great to be with you.
So thanks. First things first, you're a Georgetown grad. So, you know, this is your alma mater. And a lot of these places, you've been out a few years, a couple of decades, three decades, I bet. And a lot of them have slid left. But this has got to be one that's close to home. People that go to Georgetown love Georgetown. And so you've got to be, you must have wrote this one thinking, well, this is a tough one.
It was a tough one. It was painful for me to write this because I, as you say, I graduated from Georgetown in 1986, a very proud graduate of Georgetown, a terrific time there. I made wonderful friends with whom I'm still friends. I had some outstanding professors and really very good times academically, socially, in every other sense. So I didn't take any great joy in writing this piece about my alma mater and its current behavior. But you take a look at so many of these anti-Trump lawsuits and lawfare and extraordinary and outrageous comments and on and on and on. And I just found over and over and over that all roads seem to lead back to Georgetown, specifically Georgetown Law School. When you see a pattern like that, you know, somebody like myself, even as a Georgetown alumnus, you got to ask questions about that. Why is there so much of this anti-Trump hatred emanating from the same place? And unfortunately, that place happens to be my alma mater, typically Georgetown's law school.
Again, we're talking with DeRoy Murdoch, and I'll put up a link to his story at the American Spectator, and you can find his writings just by searching his name a lot. Looking closer at this, the key player is a woman who's an assistant dean, not an adjunct law professor, but assistant dean Rosa Rooks, and she co-founded this Transition Integrity Project, which has been written about a lot. But pulling back again, you're a keen observer and a writer on the scene of the American politics. Under Obama, wasn't it the Center for American Progress where they all cycled in and out of? And suddenly when you look at the list, you go on, it's Rosa Brooks, then you go on one after another, and the Podesta, of course, is there. I think he founded the Center for American Progress, if I recall correctly.
He did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's over at Georgetown now, Georgetown Law, and one after another in key positions. It's really the locus of the sort of anti-Trump, anti-Republican activity for the last 5 years, it looks like.
Yeah, it really has been. And it's been these people who are professors, staff members, deans, high-level executives, what have you, at Georgetown Law School. And these people have been involved in the Russia hoax. They've been involved in all the efforts to spy on Trump's campaign. A lot of the lawsuits you see going on now, the efforts to criminalize everything Donald J. Trump does, the efforts to bankrupt him while he's running for president. And if you mentioned this Transition Integrity Project, TIP as it's called for short, was basically we don't know if it's really been broken up or not, but at least during the 2020 campaign, to create sort of a kind of a simulation game, if you will, to see how people would respond if Trump were reelected. And a lot of these people who are on TIP also overlap with Georgetown Law School. And what's really interesting is so many of these people who say, oh, Trump's a threat to democracy and Trump is going to be dictator and all that. Their defense of democracy includes all sorts of things that I don't think any of our listeners would consider in any way small d democratic. For example, you mentioned Rosa Brooks, the associate dean for centers and institutes at Georgetown Law School. She wrote, this is 10 days, just 10 days into the Trump administration. She wrote an article in Foreign Policy Magazine called Three Ways to Get Rid of Trump. And she offers this. She says the fourth possibility is one that until recently I would have said was unthinkable in the United States of America, a military coup, unquote. So 10 days, just 10 days, week and a half into Trump's presidency.
Wow.
You've got this woman who's a Georgetown Law School dean saying we need a military coup. This is before he barely signed one piece of legislation, before the ink was dry and is stationary. And she's not saying, let's impeach him, which would have been bad enough. No, let's have a military coup. Let's send in the armed forces to overthrow this president on his 10th day in office. And these are the people we yell at our side and say that we're the, incoming Hitlers and authoritarians and dictators and so on and so forth. Other members of this TIP organization at Georgetown Law School have similar ideas, too.
We're talking with DeRoy Murdoch, the author of this extraordinary piece at the American Spectator. Again, spectator.org. I'll put up a link to it. Just to drop a little, make you smile. Peter Strzok, who I don't know why, James Comey teaching ethics at William & Mary Law School is laughable enough, but Peter Strzok is on the adjunct faculty. I don't know for what, texting expertise, but I'll leave that aside, of course. I'm being sarcastic. The TIP, this Transition Integrity Project, there were lots of people involved, and yet we don't really know who. Right? 15 over in one of the articles, I think, maybe linked in your piece, there was over 100 participants, including former military. I think John Podesta was publicly identified. Others, yes, in this TIP game. They did these war gaming exercises, but we don't know who the rest are. We don't know if there's more on the Georgetown faculty or more on the, I don't know, that were in this TIP effort.
Yeah, we don't know. These, again, are the same people who talk about how transparency is so important and transparency is a cornerstone of democracy and so on. And yet most members of this TIP group are secret. Some of them have come forward, but most of them are still in the shadows. You mentioned John Podesta, who is the chief of staff to Obama and also head of the campaign manager for Hillary Clinton's campaign in 2016. He was part of TIP. He portrayed, his role was to portray Joe Biden. And what's amazing is in that episode, while he was again portraying Joe Biden, one of the exercises was that Trump had a, quote, clear victory, unquote, or clear Trump win, quote unquote. And the way that President Biden, again, played by John Podesta, responded was to contact the states of Michigan and Wisconsin.
Right.
And have them create a set of alternate electors. This is the same so-called fake elector scheme for which President Trump is potentially on trial in Georgia. He might spend time in a Georgia prison for doing what John Podesta did in the TIP exercise. And yet somehow when Podesta / Biden does it, it's okay. When Trump does it, then he ought to go to jail. And the other next step he took was
unbelievable.
President Trump actually got reelected and we're about to be seated back in the Oval Office. His great idea was to take Oregon, Washington, Oregon, and California, declare, wrap those together in a state called Cascadia, and secede from the union, break the union up, and the entire West Coast split off in its own country.
These are
people yell at us about being divisive, and yet you've got the guy who portrays President Biden in this TIP exercise, literally dividing a country, taking the entire Western time zone and breaking that off as its own country. And again, we're the bad guys.
Yeah. Last question. Sorry to do it really quick. I sent a story around to folks. One of them was a congressman. He wrote back and had caught his eye at the very end of the piece. You're talking about the money. Georgetown in the last 5 or 6 years has close to $750 million they've received funding. So they're by the government from federal tax dollars. But I was reminded you do call for congressional investigations that there should be get to the bottom of this. What could be achieved? Is it to just stop them from doing this again? Is it to, I mean, what do you think? What could be achieved there?
Well, you mentioned earlier the Center for American Progress, which I think was started by John Podesta, as you said. If a private group like Center for American Progress or Media Matters wants to do this stuff, they're a private group, you know, knock yourselves out. But Georgetown University, between 2017 and 2020, more than you said $750 million. It's actually $970 million, 97% of $1 billion, even more.
Okay. Wow.
We've gotten research grants, in Pell grants, student loans, et cetera, et cetera. And if you're getting both that kind of federal money and you're also a 501c3 tax exempt organization, you're not supposed to engage in partisan activity like this. Now, you can debate politics. You can say on the one hand this, on the one hand that, discuss it and so on. But when you're basically using your faculty and staff to grind axes and chop Donald J. Trump into 1,000 pieces, and you're doing that while you're receiving taxpayer subsidies and you're also tax exempt, that's a problem. That's a violation of 501c3 tax exempt status under the IRS, or at least I think it's worthy of investigation. So I think there ought to be investigations on Capitol Hill. Look into this, get to the bottom of this. And if Georgetown law has become, in fact, the Vatican of Trump hatred, they need to stop that. If they want to be even-handed and say, look, here are our problems with Donald J. Trump, but here are our problems with Joe Biden, great. But for it to be one-sided arrayed against one party and for the other, you know, if Georgetown law wants to break itself off and turn itself into a pack,
That's right.
501c3, they can't behave that way. So I think the Congress needs to look into this and get to the bottom of this and give us some answers.
Dorian Murdoch, thank you for your time. I know you're busy and off and on on Fox News on TV. So thanks for taking the time. Again, the piece is at American Spectator. Hoya Gate, Georgetown law is Vatican of Trump hatred. Despite enjoying tax exempt status, the institution, and I love this, I did a segment on my show using this phrase, the institution is viciously partisan. That's the right phrase. Powerful. Dorian Murdoch, thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. We'll take a break, everybody. I'll post it all up on social media. We'll be back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. As you all know, one of my favorite things is when people give me a good book to read and I get to talk to the author about it. In this case, one of our friends, one of our people who helps promote good people, Jenny sent us a from her PR company, sent us Victor Avila and his film, Border Invasion and American Crisis. Very powerful. I have to tell you, Victor, when I turned, I always watch the trailer first, right? So I was like, okay. And I watched the trailer. It's only out a few weeks ago. And then I was like, holy cow. And I watched the whole film because I thought this is powerful. So welcome. First of all, Victor Avila is also himself served as a customs supervisory service special agent in ICE. Was in part in way back, I guess, 15, 14 years ago, ambushed by a cartel hitman and has been an advocate for our border security for a long time. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Thank you, Ed, for having me. Doing good. Thank you.
May I ask you first about your experience? Because when you're reading your bio, you survived this ambush. Just could you tell us, I think it's important to say it out loud. This is not like a debate between the West Side Story. When you're a jet, you're a jet. All of it's two little gangs. The cartels are much worse even than American organized crime in the movies, for sure. These are absolute vicious terrorists, the wrong word, but organized violence. Describe that a little bit so our listeners are more aware of it.
Absolutely. Great question. The cartels are not gangs. They're no longer drug trafficking organizations either, that we used to refer to them as DTOs. These people, by the way, they are terrorists. I do believe they're terrorists. Okay. I think they should be designated as foreign terrorist organizations. But I want people to understand that these are highly sophisticated networks of intelligence, of violence, of distribution. And I go around the country as a speaker, and I tell people to imagine the cartels as Amazon. What do you think about when you think about Amazon? Distribution centers all over the world, billions of dollars. Well, That's the same thing with the cartel, except they're having to deal in extortion, kidnapping, murder, human trafficking, drug trafficking, and many, many other things that they've deviled in. But they're not only headquartered in Mexico, they're present, 100% present in the U.S. and almost 50 countries abroad. And so that's how you have to deal with them. You cannot deal with them as a gang or a prison gang or a street gang, because that's not what they are. They have tentacles in many, many places, especially our country, which makes it a big public safety threat and imminent threat, I think, when we talk about border security.
Victor Avila is our guest. And again, one of the things we're highlighting, there's a lot to talk about. He himself, as he mentioned, speaks across the country on the topics related to the border. Also, he's been a supporter of President Trump and talked about veterans and the support of President Trump. But more specifically here, we're talking about this film, and it's called Border Invasion, an American Crisis. Victor Avila, again, is our guest. I got through at one point in the film, it references this, which I just think, again, is so important to break the spell. It's not a mother and father and two children with their and in front of my desk, I have Our Lady of Guadalupe, image. So I love it. And so I'm a Catholic and I'm a devotee to it. But that's not who's crossing the border. In Border Invasion, this film, Victor Avila and others are speaking about it. These are many, many, mostly military age, whatever you want to call it, 20s to 18 to 40 year old men coming across the border. It actually looks like an invasion.
That's because that's exactly what it is. And you're absolutely right. It's so you do see a family unit here and there.
Right.
In the mainstream media, that's the only thing they'll show you, because when you go down there, that's the first thing you notice. Like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Look at all these young men, by the way, not from Mexico or Central America, but from Asia, Eastern Europe, Africa, India. And you're like, what the heck is going on? And that's where I think people don't realize the number of people and the number of different countries that they're coming from all around the globe. And then you have to start thinking about, well, why are they coming? This is what's changed and has shifted in the last several years. It's no longer that, well, I'm seeking the American dream and I want to be an American and I'm going to assimilate to the United States and adopt their constitution. No, there's still some of that. I'm not naive about it, but the majority has shifted to where they're bringing their ideology and their culture and their broken political systems, communism, socialism, into our country. And that's why you see a lot of conflict within local police departments. You see a lot of conflict because that's all they know. They've never seen anything else like that. They've never experienced a true constitutional republic, and it doesn't exist anywhere in the world. And so when you think, if you're being naive, if you think that these people are coming over and all of a sudden they're going to integrate themselves, like you said, in the church, and they're going to start talking to their neighbors, that's not what's happening. What's happening is too many of them are coming over and committing additional crimes. And it's not like we need that anymore. Ed. I mean, we have a crime surge in this country. And the problem with this, and I'm a big advocate for victims of crimes in general, but especially those that have been victimized at the hands of a person that's here illegally. It's hard for me to tolerate that, because I think those are 100% preventable crimes.
Yeah. Victor Avila is our guest again. He is a former border ICE agent himself, supervisory agent, a high level, and he is out speaking on this issue. The movie is about an hour and 5 or 10 minutes. I forget now exactly. And really worth checking out. Border Invasion, an American Crisis. I'll put the link up. I'm sorry to tell you, Victor, and right now I'm not finding in my notes the website. So tell me in a second when I finish this question, the website, people can go and find out more. But my final opening here is, are people getting it? I know we're all busy. We're worried about inflation. Do you think at this point, as a matter of sort of understanding, that the majority of Americans are getting that there's a major, major problem?
Oh, man. And I'm going to answer it yes. And that's because of what I've seen now. just a couple of years ago, even last year, I would tell you the answer would have been no. But right. I am seeing a lot more people, that nonchalant American, that we're all worried about our bills and soccer practice and everything that we have around our lives. But I have seen more people pay attention, especially, guess who? The Democrats. And right. the Biden administration knows this. Boy, do they know it. And they don't like the fact that they're losing grasp or control, if you will, of the Hispanic community, the Black Americans, and they know it, and they don't want them to wake up. It's my duty to wake everybody up, and all I ask is pay attention and be aware. Let's just start there. I'm a big believer in getting involved in your local community and local politics, and be involved locally, because that's where you make the most impact. Who's your city council member? Who's your county commissioner? All that good stuff. But I'm not even asking for that much right now. Just become a little bit aware. And once you become aware, you start realizing what in the world is happening. Because if something happens on your block, and God forbid something happens to you, whether it's something, a property crime, or something more serious, like a violent crime to you or a family member, it's too late at that point. And that's the point that I try to stress to many Americans. Don't wait until you're at the victim of whether it's just another a gang member locally here or an illegal. And you need to know that danger, and I'll say it that way, or that threat does exist. And once you realize that, you'd be surprised how you would change and become a little bit more alert.
Victor Avila, thank you. And you got to come back around and give me that website. By the way, this documentary is one of our Salem Now documentaries that Salem has worked to put out. Again, it's Border Invasion and American Crisis. And I'll put the link up to the trailer for sure. You should find this. Victor, what's the best website for people to get to?
So it was on salemnow.com, but I'm going to give you another website that you'll get it really easy. It's stanfitzgerald.com. Stanfitzgerald.com. You'll go there. He's with Veterans for America First, or Veterans for Trump. And he asked me to put that website. You'll be able to get the link real easy through there.
Okay, great. Thank you, Victor Avila. Thank you for being out there. We appreciate all your work and your voice. And God help us. We need to keep understanding more and more and change the direction. So thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Ed.
Okay, Victor Avila, everybody. Again, former supervisory agent in ICE. When you see on the movie, he's talking, you know, again, it's not just a policy preference. He was down there working, living. It's powerful. So we'll take a break. I'll put all those links up and be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, presenting a daily conservative pro-family perspective since 1983 and continuing the legacy of Phyllis Schlafly. Now, from the Phyllis Schlafly Center Studios, Ed Martin.
One thing you'll sometimes hear from conservatives is that they're uncertain about Donald Trump because he's chaotic and unpredictable. This may even be a reservation that you hold, but it's important to consider what that really means. What does a chaotic and unpredictable personality have to do with politics? How does it impact policy, both foreign and domestic? Thankfully, it's an easy question to answer, because we've already seen how Donald Trump's chaotic personality plays out in office. Scott Adams, the Dilbert creator and now a political commentator, said that the use of the word chaos is an engineered attack against Trump by someone with training in persuasion. It's similar to the use of dark back in 2016. Chaos is a scary word, chosen to scare older voters, according to Adams. It's a catch-all for any future news. You can apply it to every story, Adams said. He continued with this. Trump's economic policy, chaos. Trump's foreign policy, chaos. Trump's White House, chaos. Politics under Trump, chaos. Chaos is simply a tagline that the media uses to try to paint Trump in a certain light. And they use it to try to hide any real consideration of his policies. Adams continued by saying this, "The chaos is a frame assigned by the press. Trump served 4 years, and I can think of no problems caused by his chaos. You might not like Trump's policies, but what problem did chaos cause? If anything, being unpredictable was an asset, exactly as Trump explained it would be. And today, it seems that too many politicians are predictable.
That is to say, they predictably cut deals with the opposing side and ignore we the people. They predictably tread upon the rights laid out in the Constitution. And they predictably fail to put America first. Trump, being unpredictable and chaotic, brought action to the table for America. As we face increasing global conflicts and an immigration crisis of wild proportions, chaotic political action may be exactly what we need.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. What's the best way to rekindle the spirit of Phyllis Schlafly and the grassroots movement she energized? In this digital age, patriots and pro-family Americans can find insight and inspiration on our website, phyllisschlafly.com. Then share your own heart and mind on social media. So join us at phyllisschlafly.com and every weekday for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Hey, welcome back to the Pro America Report. This is Ryan Height coming in to wrap up the show real quick for Ed Martin today. Glad to be with you, and wanted to bring a really quick, very important thing that has happened, kind of breaking news for this wonderful Tuesday, something that I think that you will need to know about and something that may affect your week moving forward as we talk with other people, as we talk with our friends and family and coworkers. But before we do that, let me remind you a final time, head to proamericareport.com. That's where you'll find Ed's Substack. You can also head to phyllisschlafly.com. There you'll find all of the standalone segments from our guests, the past podcasts, links, resources, and of course, the absolutely awesome wink email that Ed sends out every weekday morning. You'll want to go sign up there at phyllisschlafly.com for that and make sure you get subscribed. But let's dive into some news that happened today, that just broke today, something that is incredibly important that's been brewing for some time. It is, and I imagine Ed will want to talk about this more tomorrow as we break it down. But the Supreme Court has been marching through many, many things. We've been listening to oral arguments. There's been opinions and decisions, and the Schlafly Report is actually going to focus on that this week. I know there's your little hint, a little something early that's coming. But what happened today, the Supreme Court did essentially a 180 as they have been stringing along this Texas decision, this allowing of Texas to potentially jail, or I should say arrest and jail illegal immigrants. What is this? Texas SB4, I think. I forget the exact bill number. This is something that has been brewing for a while. Well, the Supreme Court finally came down today on a side of it. 7-2. 7-2. The Supreme Court has ruled in favor of Texas, allowing them to arrest and deport illegal immigrants. They are moving. They are moving quickly. This is huge. Yes, SB4. And this question of enforcement on SB4, I know this is something that's been plaguing our discussions and the news headlines for the last number of days, couple of weeks, as it's just continued to kind of allow this situation to move forward. Justice Alito has been involved at least two times now. We've just essentially had a continuance, or rather, the Biden administration has been told we're not going to not let you know, it's all been very vague. Well, today that all ends. The Supreme Court of the United States coming down officially 7-2. Justices Sonia Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson are the only two that dissented. I believe one of the phrases they said, this will sow chaos in the country. So this is huge, a very, very big decision that has come down today, and a kind of surprising number, I think. This is very, very interesting to look at. So this will definitely have repercussions as we march forward, but Texas is standing up for their border, their citizens, since the federal government has abandoned their duty to do so, and they're winning. They're winning, and they're getting the stamp of approval from the Supreme Court of the United States. And I tell you what, they need backup. There should be some backup coming from Congress. There should be a rebuke from more than just Texas, and then an allowance of that rebuke from the Supreme Court. There ought to be a rebuke from the other branches that have some checks and balances that ought to be exercised over the executive branch that is ignoring its job, that is failing in its duty to protect our borders, to maintain our status as a sovereign nation. This is big. This is very big. And I think that this bodes well as we look down the pike in 2024, as we are looking at not only the election cycle and all of the things that are happening here. I think that this gives a very commanding a very commanding presence to the crisis that is happening, and that something must be done and leaders are willing to step up. I am very hopeful that this will turn some major public opinion in favor of what's happening in Texas, that they'll see and understand, hey, someone is stepping up to do something about this. It's not that we can't do anything, because, you know, the White House has spun up so many lies and mistruths and just ignored this issue altogether. And in the process of doing that, I think that many people who do not have some sort of life that is affected by this each and every day often get lulled into a sense of, well, it's not that big a deal. It's not that bad. Well, here we have the Supreme Court of the United States agreeing that Texas is allowed to do something that actually is fairly drastic. And it's not that Texas is just doing this out of the blue. Texas is doing what someone else is supposed to do. I hope that this is a wake-up call that will seriously get people's attention if they are not yet onto this issue and understanding essentially what the Democrat Party is doing, what the Biden administration is doing. I think this will have massive ramifications as people are looking at their options between the Trump administration potentially coming back and the Biden administration continuing. I think this is huge. So the Supreme Court decision today, definitely a big splash compared to some of the things, the echoes that we have gotten before now. And I think that this matters greatly. It's a great victory, a huge victory. And like we talked about here at the beginning of the program, it's a sad day for due process because of what they're doing to Peter Navarro, because of what's being allowed to happen to Trump and his associates through these incredible persecutions and prosecutorial abuses. But when it comes to the southern border, when it comes to Texas standing up for its right to defend its citizens, when it comes to Texas telling the executive branch, do your job or we will, there is a victory today. And that's it. It's a big one. It's a very big one. So this is going to have some incredible echoes that go across several different places. I'm excited about it. I think you should be, too. This is a good thing. It's a victory for policy. It's a victory for the Constitution. And I greatly hope that it will be a victory in the minds of Americans as they continue to go to the polls and primary states. And we continue to look down the barrel of the 2024 elections this year. We must have change. And this issue is driving so much of that. So let's hope that this makes a major impact and pushes more people toward a good understanding as they're going into the ballot box, to put their vote into the ballot box this year. We need it. All right. That's it for today's show. That's it for our Pro America Report this episode today. Thank you for being here with us. Appreciate Ed for being a great leader on the program, having some good interviews, man. DeRoy Murdoch and Victor Avila. Great, great interviews today. Thank you to Mason, my co-producer, for helping me keep everything on time. And thank you to you for being a part of our Pro America Report family, listening each and every time. We appreciate you. Couldn't do it without you. Thank you, everybody. Have a great night. We'll see you back on the Pro America Report tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.